Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 30th, 2017. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. This is not a joke, and nor is it a test. You know, like when those old signals used to come on. I don't know how old you people are, but we used to hear, you know, not tornado, but the sirens warning all the time, especially when we were in school. We had to go out and duck and cover and get inside the hallways for fear of a nuclear attack. The shofar is the Father's warning that there's trouble coming. There is trouble not only coming, but it's here. But most of you are too blind to see. So please make this choice tonight. If you get help after if you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 620-878-4682. Now then, that was my house phone number. My emergency phone number is 316-619-4886. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all these things at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. Requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you with no solicitation for donations. And we do have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. Excuse me. We are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener base today. Beijing, China, Nairobi, Kenya, Colombo, Sri Lanka, Auckland, New Zealand, Dublin, Ireland, and of course places in the United States like St. Paul, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, Cleveland, Ohio, all over California and Texas, really all over the United States, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our podcast, at least when the programs go to. Right now, they're not being podcast. Podcast is something that, a term that they created for when you put, basically when you do what I've been doing since 2001, was put archives on the internet, and then they call it a podcast. But this isn't a podcast. A podcast is just strictly internet. We are a radio program, so that's a difference. But we do podcast it or put it in the archives after the radio program. So you should invite other people to it, and we're working on a new podcast page slowly. But that's, you know, that's all that I have is one speed is slow when you have so much to do with all the different hats that I wear, such as, you know, I'm pastor, father, grandfather, minister, radio talk show host, researcher, just the list goes on and on and on. Now, prayer request. Dear Heavenly Father, In Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, before we get into anything, we're going to play this song. And then that will set the mood for the program. And I have some really important information to share with you. So now first, the song for the program. Folks, we're back, and today I want to talk to you about something. You know, while the whole world, the Western world, waits for a suit and tie Antichrist to arise on the throne, and it's something that you have listened to for as long as that I can remember. I was alive since I was a young man. I was taught. A program showed it to me about how everybody disappeared and the Antichrist was all about and putting people to death and so on and so forth. But that's a false narrative because the Bible's read from in the Western world is read from a false narrative. We read, or the people, the Christians in the United States, read the Bible like it's a book about cowboys. When it's truly a book about Indians, about their culture, about their Messiah, and so on and so forth. And So when you look at it from a Western world perspective, and, you know, they even go in there and they change the words, like when it says Babylon, it doesn't mean Babylon, it's got to mean something else. Or when they say the word Israel, no, it doesn't mean Israel anymore, it means something else. And so there's no way, there's no handbook out there to decide how the Bible should be read, because everybody's opinion's okay. But you need to look at the opinion of what the Bible says. Have we just so totally lost it? I mean, look at it. You folks out there, do you, and I don't know about your generation. I'm going to be 62 years old this year. I remember what my Bible says. I reread it all the time, but I remember originally when I was a child, there was only one way to Christ. Any other God or anything like that, you know, was not, you know, you just weren't going to get into heaven. People weren't tolerant. It wasn't that we weren't tolerant of other religions, but we didn't say there were other pathways to heaven. And the Bible is very strict about that. But yet we act like there's a free pass to heaven for every Muslim or people that just do good simply by doing good, like the Pope. You know, he seems to be welcoming in Muslims. You know, you don't do that. You don't have, his sole purpose should be one thing, as yours should be. If you want to talk about how, you know, you think, well, all in the New Testament, let's just do New Testament commandments, some of you Christians say. Well, if that's the case, then why don't you do the commandment of the Great Commission that says go out into the world, you know, and preach the gospel. In other words, evangelize. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't evangelize by bringing people in and embracing their religion and saying it's okay. And like this. Now, I'm not going to go with a whole bunch of different things that the Pope has maybe said or not said, but what I am going to share with you is something that he did. Because, you know, I'm a big action guy. I believe that actions are bigger than words most of the time. Anyway, for the first time in Vatican, this comes from the Washington Times by Cheryl Chumley. Now, she's been on the program before, and she's a really good writer. Anyway, for the first time in Vatican history, the Pope allowed for the reading of Islamic prayers and Quran readings from the Catholic facility. The readings and prayers came as Pope Francis met with Israeli President Shimon Peres and Palestinian Authority President Mohammed Abbas in Vatican City, a gathering designed to pray for Middle Eastern peace. Okay, well, if you're going to pray for Middle Eastern peace, you pray for it to the only God there is. There is only one God, and that is our Father, and he is not Allah. But anyway, it goes on to say the Holy See spokesman said the prayers were supposed to be a pause in politics, and the Pope said, too, that interfaith prayers would foster the peace specifically between Israelis and Palestinians. Okay, let me play it to you straight. It's like having somebody sitting there next to you praying to the devil. Because if there's only one prayer that works, Yeshua said, taught us how to pray. He says, pray to the Father in my name. So we're supposed to pray to the Father in the Son's name. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. You're supposed to pray in one name. So if you pray to anything else, it's not going to work. If you pray to a false God, it's not going to work, because there is no false God. It's just the devil. You understand? That's what your Bible says. Do you read your Bible? But let's move on with this. So while the world waits for, the Western world waits for a suit and tie Antichrist to come, his armies are already amassing across the world. And yes, that means that I'm talking about Islam. Let's go with this. There is an Islamic invasion of the world. You just don't realize it. Just like the Turkish leader warned the European Union that they need to let Muslims in and they need to be more tolerant of them, because if they don't, they're going to use all their voting power against them, because the European Union is now technically a Muslim nation because there are so many Muslims in the country. So that, now they're claiming it as their territory, so to speak. And so this ideology, this Islamic invasion of the world is going out in the form of refugees. And this is even part of their theology. But who brought, and for the record, who brought that on? The Arab Spring was brought on by Obama. If you haven't figured out that by now, you probably never will. But he did bring it on, and even reports are coming out right now that prove that Benghazi was a gun-running operation. And in fact, it's coming out that paperwork that says in 2012, Obama created ISIS to counter the president of Syria. So that's what it was created for. We even have Saudi people, a prince from Saudi Arabia, saying, well, we couldn't attack ISIS because Obama wouldn't let us. Couldn't attack ISIS because Obama wouldn't let us. And that Turkey was in on the deal. He had a plan with it. That's where the guns and things were funneled through. But anyway, so you had a president that did that. But let's go on. So what's happening across the world? You would think that in the end times you might see a resurgence. Everybody says, oh, we're going to have a revival. Well, all the time, America is getting, you know, that America now is added to the list of the most persecuted places in the world for Christians. You ever thought you'd see that day in America? And some of you say it's all right. You're just being closed-mouthed about your faith. But we'll go on to that. But listen to this. This is a headline from a place called Israel, Islam, and the End Times. And anyway, so let's read this real quick. Islam, not Christianity, is saturating Europe. Everywhere in Europe, there are signs of a takeover. Jihadists seem to be leading the assault against freedom and against secular democracies. Sunni Islam's most prominent preacher, Yusuf Karadawi, declared the day will come when Constantinople, Rome, will be Islamicized. Really? Rome will be Islamicized? Looky there. The Vatican is letting them do Islamic prayers from the Vatican. It is not Islam. It is Islam, not Christianity, that now saturates Europe's landscape and imagination. According to United States President Trump's strategic advisor, Steve Bannon, Judeo-Christian West is collapsing. It is imploding, and it's imploding on our watch. And the blowback of that is going to be tremendous. The importance and fragility of the civilization, of our civilization, is haunting many Europeans as well. Europe, according to the historian David Ingalls, will face the fate of the ancient Roman Republic, a civil war. Everywhere Europeans see signs of fracture. Jihadists seem to be leading an assault against freedom and against secular democracies. Fears occupy the imagination of Europeans. A survey of more than 10,000 people from 10 different European countries revealed increasing public opposition to Muslim immigration. The Royal House Institute International Affairs carried out a survey asking online respondents their views and statements that all further migration from mainly Muslim countries should be what stopped. That's the opinion of the majority of the people. And the 10% of the countries surveyed, an average of 55% agreed with that statement. Mainstream media is now questioning if Europe fears Muslims more than the United States fears them. The photograph used in the article was a recent Muslim mass prayer in front of Italy's monument, the Colosseum. It echoes of the Casper of the great Christian civilization in Byzantine in Constantinople. Islam's most prominent preacher, Yusuf, again declared that day will become when Rome will be Islamicized. Do civilization die from the outside, or the disappearance the result of external aggression like war, natural disasters, or epidemics, or of an internal erosion, decay, incompetence, disastrous choices? What say you? In the last century, they was Arnold Toynbee in the last century was adamant, civilizations die from suicide and not murder. I agree with that. The contemporary historian of ancient Greece and ancient Rome saw their civilizations begin their decline and fall. Both Greeks and Romans attributed it to falling birth rates because nobody wanted the responsibilities of bringing up children, said Britain's former chief rabbi, Lord Sacks. Everywhere in Europe, there are signs of a takeover. So, okay, are here in the United States, white people, and it's okay. Look, I'm not a racist or anything like that, but white people are going to be a minority in a short period of time. You have a huge majority of utter face that have come into our country, and they're even going to outnumber the minority now, which is the black folks, our brothers. But they are going to be outnumbered too. And what are they going to be replaced with? They're going to be replaced with two things. You're going to be replaced with Hispanics, that's from south of the border, and we're also going to be replaced by Muslims. Both religions, the predominant religion or belief of the Hispanics is that, well, most of them are Catholics and they don't believe in birth control and they believe in big families. Then you go to the Muslims that are in this country. They believe in actually more than one wife, but they also believe in no birth control, but large families. While Christians, on the other hand, are more and more taking birth control pill and having only one point so many families and so on and so forth. So we, by sheer volume, America will be taken over and changed. And it's already been changed in such a way that it's never going to be again. But you need to wake up. You can wake up. And so there's so much going on, folks, but there's a couple of generations of people out there that just seem to be numb to it. Now, while most of it's happening on the coast and things, and we here in, they call us the flyover states, we here in the flyover states, wow, that's such a word, man. It's like we're nothing. While we here in the flyover states don't quite see it, you know, even when we do see some Muslims in the city, it has not yet become threatening. Not yet. But look at Europe. Look at England. England before 2030 will be completely ruled by the Muslims just by population. Well, look, we're going to need to go to break. I encourage you to go to prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Check out our hub and see what all is over there. You can get... you can make a donation over there. You can do lots of things. You can look at our videos. We have a YouTube page and so on and so forth. All that you can find at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are looking for, I am desperately looking for a volunteer that knows how to do HTML and might do a little work on our website for us. So pray about that. And somebody to help me get over to doing video. We still lack a few things, but isn't that normal? Now, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, we'll talk a little later about the Wichita Mission Church. Right now, we're talking about something else that's really important. And, you know, after all, you know, I am a preacher, so I guess today I decided to kind of preach at you or talk to you. Look, we were talking about the Muslim population and overgrown, and you folks, you know, waiting for this guy to appear in a suit and tie. That's supposed to be some extremely good-looking person, which the Bible says, from the way I get the recollection of the Antichrist, he ain't too good-looking. But the whole point is you're looking for somebody to come on and smooze you. You're looking for somebody to come take over the whole world. Well, I don't believe that he'll ever take over the whole world, because actually, what does the Bible actually say? It says 10 nations. You know, you should read the book, The Islamic Antichrist, and there's several other good works out there that talk about it. But anyway, let's move on. So we're talking about England, and we're talking about the Middle East and Europe in general. But let's go with this. Muslim students, and we're talking about in Britain, Muslim students now outnumber Christian students in more than 30 British church schools. Now, think about that for a minute. They're not there learning the Bible. They're learning how to keep their faith. One Anglican primary school has 100% Muslim population. The Church of England estimated that about 20 of its schools have more Muslim students than Christian ones, and that a 15 Roman Catholic schools have majority Muslim students. Now, this is in England. It's crushing Christianity. They're not over there teaching them how to be Christians. They are teaching them other things. Let's go on. In Germany as well, there are fears of a massive Muslim influx into the school system. German teachers are openly denouncing the threat of a ghettoization. France saw 34,000 fewer babies born last year than in 2014. A new report just found the number of French women having children reached its lowest level in 40 years. A low fertility rate has become a plague all over Europe. In 1995, only one country, Italy, had more than 65 people over 65 years of age than people under 15. Today, there are 30, and that number is over 30, and by 2020, that number will hit 35. Welcome to the graying of Europe. In other words, population, just like I told you, is on decline. Okay, but not with Muslims. Additionally, if it weren't for the Muslim women, France would have even a lower birth rate. With a fertility rate of 3.5 children per woman, the Algerians contribute significantly to the growth population in France. And so there we have it. Thanks to Muslim migrants, Sweden's maturity wards are busy these days. In Milan, Italy's financial center, Mohammed is the top name among newborn babies. So what is it? It's Muslim again. The same is true in London. In the four biggest Dutch cities, though, elsewhere in Europe, from Brussels to Marseille, it is Islam, not Christianity, that now saturates Europe's landscape and imagination. Meanwhile, Europe's leaders are almost all childless. In Germany, Angela Merkel has no children. British Prime Minister Theresa May and one of France's leading presidential candidates, Emmanuel Macron, have no children. As Europe's leaders have no children and no reason to worry about the future, everything ends with them. You understand? They don't have a reason to worry about the future because they have no children to pass it on to. They are now opening Europe's borders to keep the continent in a democratic equilibrium. And so they're trying to keep their population numbers up, so they're inviting the devil in. That's the basics of it. They're inviting the devil in. Europeans should understand that migration for economics and for welfare systems with the current demographic trend have to be sustainable. But this is just wrong. You can't replace it with that Muslim population, because they want to be Muslim. They do not want to be assimilated into Europe. And so now what are they doing? They're demanding that more and more are let in. They're even saying that in Germany, they're saying, well, we don't have to work because we're here a guest of Merkel. Well, so you have an ever-expanding population, and of not peaceful people, but of violent people. And while some of them may be peaceful, you've got to look at their culture, and you've got to look at what's going on. When you get past some of the media's numbers and get to talking to people, you see there's a rape epidemic going on in Sweden. In fact, in Sweden, the women were warned not to go out at night alone because of why? Because of all of the rapes from the Muslim people. And they're telling them in Germany, well, you need to cover up and do this and the other. Now, look, I'm all for women, you know, being covered up to a point. You know what I mean? But I don't think they should go around, you know, in tents. I don't believe that's called for. But my point is these freedom-loving countries that want to, go to the beach in a bikini, if a woman goes to the beach in even a passive bathing suit, are in danger of being raped. Christians, folks, have went to sleep. Yes, asleep, or they're just greatly deceived, because when even the Pope says that Christians are no better than Muslims, but yet their Muslim religion claims Christ will come and kill those who don't believe in Islam, it denies Yeshua is the Son of God, which is the spirit of Antichrist. In America, more and more schools are allowing Muslim prayer rooms. Imagine that. And they have hijab, you know, that's head covering days, while calling Christians terrorists. That's, if it's against the Constitution to promote Christianity, it's against the Constitution to promote Muslims. But that isn't what's going on. They're using it again. America is on the list of some of the biggest persecuted nations in the world for Christianity. Christianity is being crushed, and the preachers allowed it. How did the preachers allow it? Do you hear them screaming from the pulpit about what I'm talking about? Do you hear, when's the last time they screamed from the pulpit and said, no, abortion's wrong. No, it's wrong to have sex out of marriage. No, it's wrong to a man to marry a woman or sleep with a woman, or no, take that back. A man to sleep with another man like a woman. No, it's perfectly all right to sleep with a woman, but let's hope that it's your wife. But anyway, there's the point. So they haven't stood up and said that. They're being politically correct out of fear. Why? Because there's dwindling numbers of the church going down. Why? Because they didn't maintain that. They fell out coming out of the 60s. They fell out, and they didn't bring people back into the church. And then because they didn't bring them back in by the Spirit of God, they tried to bring them in with the spirit of entertainment, and that's what's going on in most of the big mega churches today. It's all about entertainment. Did you have a good time? Well, I didn't go, you don't go to church. I mean, it's great. You should have a good time anytime you do something in Messiah, but you don't go there specifically to have a good party and time. You go to church to learn. You go to church to get convicted of your sins and turn away from sin. That's what you go for. And, you know, the church is just a building. You go to the assembly. That's a fellowship of other believers that are called out believers. Called out to what? Called out from this world in Messiah Yeshua. So the first time ever, the United States has been added to the annual list of the world's persecutors of Christians. That's just utterly ridiculous. The United States, Mexico, and Russia were also listed as noteworthy nations in the Hall of Shame report. Now, so it's not just America, it is worldwide. So what does the Bible and Jesus or Yeshua mean to Muslims? Let's get this word from a converted inman. You know, this guy was a pretty notorious guy. A former imam from Egypt with strong family ties to the Muslim Brotherhood leadership who converted to Christianity said that some Muslims in the United States are using Islamic deception to fool Christians into believing misconceptions about the religion. Mark Christian, who became a Sunni imam at the young age of 13 because of his great uncle, was a co-founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, detailed during a webinar hosted by the American Pastors Network how he began to question Islam around the age of 23 and eventually left that religion. He explained that he lived dead inside for a period of 6 or 7 years before the truth ultimately led him on a journey to Messiah, and that took 10 or 15 years. Christian, however, asserted that although Muslims are not the enemy, some Muslims in the West are trying to distort the truth about what Muslims really believe in order to deceive Western Christians into thinking that Muslims believe the same things they do. Many Christians actually want to believe these things are true. Others are taking them with a grain of salt, and some don't understand what they really mean. Christian explained, I want to go one after another and talk about those main things we hear a lot in the media at the church. The first misconceived notion is that Christians tackle is the claim that Muslims also believe in the Bible. You hear a lot of Muslims or others say Muslims are very good because they believe in the Bible as well, and there are verses in the Quran that says that. Well, Christian said, well, there is no verse in the Quran that says they believe in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Quran 2:75-77 says, when they say we believe in the Bible, you should think they believe in the Bible in its current form. They do not. The reality is, Muslims say, we believe in the Bible, and you want to believe it's the Bible in your hand, but what they believe in is something different. It's a Bible that they believe in. It's called the I-N-J-I-L, Injil. We'll call it that, Injil, which is supposedly written by Jesus Christ himself and has been distorted and changed over time, he explained. The Bible has nothing to do with what they believe in. Some people want to say they believe in the Bible. That is just not the case. Christian continued by emphasizing that for many Muslims, their concept of the Bible is a collection of three different writings. The one they believe was written by Jesus, called the Injil, one written by Moses, called the Torah, and one written by David, called Zabur, Z-A-B-U-R. All of those books have been written by Moses. David or Jesus Christ are not available right now whatsoever, Christian asserted. And the Bible that you have in your hand, the Quran, clearly says it is distorted and not to be believed. You hear that? Your Bible is distorted and not to be believed, followed, not to be written, and not even to be touched. So, no, they don't believe in your Bible. It's not even to be touched by them. Christian also touched on the claim that Muslims also believe in Jesus Christ at the second coming of Christ. Well, there are two places he wants you to look at. Number one is Quran 5:72 and 9:30. The Hadith. The Hadith are the sayings of Muhammad, Christian said. The difference between Jesus according to Islam and Jesus Christ according to Christians is critical. Number one, they believe that Jesus was just a prophet. He did not die on the cross whatsoever, but was replaced miraculously on the day of crucifixion by Judas. And Jesus was elevated up to heaven, Christian added. So he never died whatsoever and was never crucified whatsoever, and he is not the Son of God. The Bible says, who denies the Son denies also the Father, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. That's for me. And they go on to, Christian goes on to say, he is just a prophet. This is a critical difference between our belief in Jesus and their belief of Jesus. Christian added that many Muslims believe Jesus will come back to destroy what? The Christian church, and fight for the cause of Islam before dying after he defeats the Antichrist. And the Antichrist that they're talking about is an Antichrist that comes from Christianity. Kind of the reversal. When they say we believe in the second coming of Jesus, you believe it as though the second coming of Jesus, even though it sounds the same, it's completely different. When Yeshua comes back, or Jesus, as he says, comes back to Islam, he will come to destroy the cross, demolish the church, and have a sword in his hand to fight for the cause of Islam. When he defeats the Antichrist, he will die like every other human being. This is right before Judgment Day, or the Violent Day, as they call it, according to Islam. So Christians that believe in the second coming of Jesus to elevate those who believe in him, and Islam believes the second coming of Jesus is to come to demolish those who believe in him as Savior, Christian added. And what's further, they explained also how the prophets are viewed in Islam. The prophets in Islam according to the Quran 367, is very clear. They do believe in all the prophets. They believe in Adam, Eve, all the prophets from Abraham to Moses to Noah to Jesus as a prophet. This is a big difference, and the verse is very clear. All the prophets, according to Islam, were Muslim. That does not even mean, though, the prophet Muhammad came as the final, that he came as the final prophet. To be a Muslim, is to believe in Allah alone, either to follow Muhammad or prophesize about Muhammad before his coming. They believe, according to the Quran, all the prophets lived in their life believing in Allah and sharing the message of Allah. So all of those people that we talked about all shared the message of Allah. That's not in your Bible. Have you read your Bible? It goes back to that. Have you read your Bible? You know, you don't have to read all these other things. If you just read the Bible, you can indeed see that that these things are wrong. And so while the world out, while you folks out there are waiting on a suit and tie guy or your own government to come after you, the armies of the Antichrist are spreading out through migration. And again, I proved that by saying, how can I say a Muslim is Antichrist? Because the Bible says it. The Bible says, he that denies the Son denies also the Father, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you New Testament people love Paul. Paul said that. So, where is your head at to think that, and you're not, it's one thing to evangelize Muslims, but you're not supposed to go break bread with them. You're not supposed to go pray with them. You're not supposed to invite them into your church and allow them to pray to the devil. Because if they're not praying to the Father through the Son, it has to be going to the devil, because it's sure not getting to the Father. Those prayers, and so those people need what? They need your love, yes. They need your kindness, yes. They need you to witness to them the true Savior. Now, over there in their land, you have, and we'll do that some other day, but there's all kinds of Muslims that are turning to Messiah. And why are they doing it? Not because somebody's over there, there are people over there evangelizing, but they're doing it because of dreams and visions of Yeshua and visitations. Miraculous things are going on over there, right where the Christians are being slaughtered and have been slaughtered, just as the Bible said they would be beheaded for their faith during the end times, are being beheaded while the Western Church just sleeps on and says, oh, we're still waiting for this suit and tie guy to give us a biochip in the hand. You folks that believe a biochip in the hand, you're deceived. You're in a deception. Somebody told you something. There's no biblical proof for that. But there is biblical proof, however, even the name 666. Look it up. Google Wall and Shoe Bat and 666 and see if you come up with the number, or just send me an email and I'll send you a picture of what it looks like. So, folks, you need to pray about it. You need to get into your Bible. Bible, Bible, Bible. If you're a New Testament Christian, as you claim to be, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, why aren't you following the Great Commission and telling your Muslim neighbor that he needs Christ? Or for that matter, are you telling anybody that they need Christ? For the record. I wonder, where have all the Christians gone? I don't know. I just don't know. And yeah, I'm a terrible singer. But anyway, I've only got a few minutes left. I need to ask you to pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, for a long time, I did this in an email newsletter, but for a long time, when Messiah's Branch first started, way back in the 90s, we started a newsletter. We did a mail-out newsletter for 20-some-odd years, and just recently, last year, we had to quit because of finances, but it was to warn the world. Well, you know, people got away from paper, but for the longest time, that newsletter is what supported Wichita Mission Church. But then as that transitioned away, we had electronic mailing lists. You know, that was before Facebook and all that. You know, I could send out an email, and I had a list of people, and they listened, got my news articles, which you can still get that, Prophetic News Service, find it as PNS. guest list over at prophecyhour.com. You can find a box to subscribe to it. And all it is just news going out, what I think's the latest breaking news. But I would, to the same list, I would send out a mission update and tell them what's going on at the Wichita Mission Church, you know, and it's a plea for money to support the Wichita Mission Church. That's what it's for. That's what it was created for. So if you get mission updates, you're going to get one of those emails. So if you don't want, so anyway, so that supported us for a while. But, you know, people fell off of that, and now, you know, everything's transitioned to Facebook. Facebook is a place where, you know, I tried to raise money on there once, or I watched what other people did, and you, at least with the list that I have, which is over 1,000 people, people don't donate on Facebook. They just don't do it. They're too busy doing other things, and they get it. Actually, the people that I've seen get offended that you would even suggest that you might support the Wichita Mission Church. So, you know, I don't do that. I post the news over there, basically. Not very many pictures of my family, and I'm trying to change from a personal page to a Messiah's Branch page. But point is, so now we're in an era where it's just radio. Really, radio is the only way I have to reach anybody that might possibly support the Wichita Mission Church. And so that goes, I'm putting this plea before you. We take care, we are in one of the worst parts of the city of Wichita, Kansas, and that worst part of that city is someplace where, you know, it's where the sinners are at. And where the sinners are at is where, wait a minute, that Great Commission said go out into the world, go out amongst the sinners, is what it should be saying, because that's the only people that you can save. I mean, Yeshua even said he didn't come to basically to save the church, he came to save the fallen. So where are the fallen at? That's where you're supposed to be. That's where we are at. And people ignore this fact, and they just go right on by that part of the city. I mean, look, dig that. Wichita, Kansas has the larger group of listeners that I have. But only, but support-wise, you know, Wichita should be paying all the support, because it's your friends and neighbors, you folks over there, that we're helping. But, you know, we don't get it. You know, we're just the cult that lives down, that's down the street, takes care of the homeless and poor. Well, we might listen to his radio programs, but we're not going over there, and we're not going to make a donation. No, we ain't going to do that. So pray about it. You know, we've given up everything in our life. It's just like, you know, I still have a motorcycle sitting in the garage. And, yeah, I'd love to get out and ride it once in a while. That would be really nice relaxation. But I can't get out and do it because it needs work on it. But I can't put work on it because we take all our money. It just sits and rots because I put all our money into Wichita Mission Church, because I'm here to serve God, not serve myself. And so the bike isn't an issue, but I'm just trying to explain to you. My family has given our whole life to the Wichita Mission Church. Everything revolves around that, to taking care of who? The homeless and the poor, the sinners, being among the sinners. And you know what? If nothing else, you folks over there in Wichita, don't you have a lot of clothing that you're not using? You know, you could donate that. It wouldn't cost you anything. And if you must have it, I can give you a thank you note for the clothing that you dropped off so you can get a tax receipt. You know, we won't go into that right now. But anyway, but pray about it. We do really need your help. And, you know, getting them to Christ is the main thing. Getting everybody to Christ. And Messiah, when you look around your own household, are the people there in your own household saved? Are your friends and neighbors? Or do you just have a couple of Christian friends that you go to once in a while? You know, what is it? I want to know. Because light has nothing to do with darkness. And if there's darkness around you, the only cure for darkness is what? Turn on a light switch. Where does light come from? Light only comes from one place. You know, true light, that comes from Yeshua. And he is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what Word was that? We have it, hopefully, prayerfully in your house. And it's called a Holy Bible. And so you need to open that Bible. You need to read. Because let me tell you, time is short. Time is short. Just because Trump won doesn't mean anything in this sense, because look around the United States. It just revealed the country is almost in civil war, let alone the world. So you need to pray about it, and you need to do those things that are productive to the body of Messiah, because that's where your treasure should be, is in heaven. But pray about it. I can't force you into anything. We've got a great show coming up for you in an hour. You should really turn into it. His name's Joseph Drummond, and you'll really like this guy. Anyway, you Messianic folks will. You must remember, though, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? What is it I always tell you to remember? Remember, always, 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 do what? Be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would please bless them and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.